while speaking thus, Vidura, whose personal character was esteemed by respectable persons, was insulted by Duryodhana, who was swollen with anger and whose lips were trembling. Duryodhana was in the company of Karna, his younger brothers, and his maternal uncle, Shakuni. Report by Srila Prabhupada. It is said that giving good counsel to a foolish person causes the fool to become angry. Just as feeding milk to a snake only increases its venomous poison, Saint Vidura was so honorable that his character was looked up to by all respectable persons. But Duryodhana was so foolish that he dared to insult Vidura. This was due to his bad association with Shakuni, his maternal uncle, as well as with his friend Karna, who always encouraged Duryodhana in his nefarious acts. End of report. Ityuchivam stakrasa suyodhanena pravita kopa spuritadarena asakritak satsprihaniya shilaha shatha sakarnanuja sobalena. While speaking thus, Vidura, whose personal character was esteemed by respectable persons, was insulted by Duryodhana, who was swollen with anger and whose lips were trembling. Duryodhana was in the company of Karna, his younger brothers, and his maternal uncle Shakuni. Shri Gurave Namaha, Shri Chaitanya Manovrishnam Stapitam Vena Bhupane Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Pradhisa Gantikam. We've been hearing about the fearless and faultless and powerful advice given by Vidura to his elder brother Dhritarashtra. Consistently given advice. And Dhritarashtra's inability to hear because of his fault of attachment on the bodily platform. Because of this fault of attachment on the bodily platform, although given the opportunity for taking the high road, doing the right thing, acting virtuously, he was unable to do it. Again and again, Maharaj described so very wonderfully yesterday, get rid of him. But he couldn't do it. There's a sequence in this corruptibility of persons, because Dhritarashtra, he also heard, has elevated qualities. The conclusion of how Dhritarashtra finally takes the advice of Vidura and the capacity that he demonstrates is actually he was a very elevated person. He was a very elevated person, corrupted by his attachment. And there's a chain of events, how that attachment was inflamed by his son Duryodhan, and how his son Duryodhan was also influenced by Shakuni. That's what's in this purport. Duryodhan was so foolish that he dared to insult the Dura. This was due to his bad association with Shakuni. So the focus of this morning's class is going to be on the role of Shakuni, or the function of bad association. Shakuni comes into play in Mahabharata from the time that Bhishma Dev made an arrangement for the daughter of the king Suvala. Gandhari was the daughter of King Suvala, the Gandhar kingdom was under the rule of Suvala. Suvala had a daughter whose name was Gandhari, and Gandhari had been given a benediction by Lord Shiva that she would have 100 sons. Dhritarashtra had been given a benediction by Vyas at the time of his conception that he would have 100 sons. And so Grandfather Bhishma considered these two sons of his, or grandsons, or the nephews that he was looking after, Dhritarashtra and Pandu, at the time that they were needed to be married. Mahabharata describes that Bhishma was taking, although he was brahmachari, he was of the royal family, and he was considering he must not have a break in lineage, and so these Dhritarashtra, the successors to the throne, and Pandu, they needed qualified wives to continue the lineage of kings. Vidura was so much respected that even Bhishma Dev consulted Vidura. And when Bhishma Dev consulted Vidura, who were prospective queens for Pandu and Dhritarashtra, Vidura agreed in a very humble way. You're the grandsire of this dynasty, certainly you, and you're the wisest amongst us all. So, Bhishma Dev sent an envoy to King Suvala, making this recommendation that his daughter marry Dhritarashtra. Suvala had some mixed feelings. How can my daughter marry a blind king? But on the other hand, the Kuru dynasty for generations and generations and generations and generations had been known for being so very strong and powerful and virtuous. This would be a suitable alliance between our two kingdoms. And so he agreed. He made the arrangement that his son, Shakuni, would, just like we know Kamsa was the chariot driver of Vasudeva and Devaki, to the brother, Shakuni escorted Gandhari to Hastinapur. Gandhari, just hearing that the man that she would marry was blind, immediately covered her eyes with cloth so that she would not be in a superior position to her husband. And when she reached Hastinapur, in a very devoted way, faithful way, served her husband. After things were settled, Shakuni returned back to his father's kingdom. And we don't hear so much about Shakuni until the next stage of events. When the Pandavas, the sons of Pandu, after Pandu is married to Kunti, and Madri, and then children are born, Pandu dies, Madri enters into the funeral pyre of Pandu. Now the boys and Kunti return back to the royal palace. And as young boys, they require proper education and training in military skill. Drona enters into the picture. Drona, with the assistance of Bhishma, becomes in charge of training the boys in military skill. On Drona's request, Balaram also came to Hastinapur and trained Duryodhan and Bhima in the art of fighting with a club. While Balaram was visiting in Hastinapur, he understood the tension and the intrigue that was going on in Hastinapur, and reported this to Krishna. But Krishna, being related to the Pandavas and having special affection for Queen Kunti, he was very concerned. Meanwhile, in Hastinapur, the reputation of Krishna was well known. Krishna and Balaram. So Krishna made an arrangement for Akrura. Akrura got this very special position. Akrura was so good that Kamsa even selected Akrura to be the mission carrier to bring Krishna to Mathura. After Kamsa's demise, Akrura is sent by Krishna to go to Hastinapur and check out the scene. Assess the situation, see what you can do to improve the situation, and report back to me. So for 3 months, Akrura is in Hastinapur. When he reached Hastinapur, he was received by the Kuru dynasty in a very grand way. He's a representative of the Yadu dynasty, and very esteemed and respected elder, learned person. After being received by the Kauravas, Akrura then went to Kunti. And Kunti couldn't control herself. She just burst out in tears, saying, does Krishna ever think of his relatives, the Pandavas, and myself? Will he someday come and give us his association? And just thinking of Krishna, she began to cry. Both Akrura and Vidura pacified Kunti, indicating to her, we know from Vyasadeva, the prophecy that your sons will live a long life and be victorious. We know that your sons are expansions or manifestations of the Devas. Please don't worry for their welfare. And by the pacifying words of Akrura and Vidura, Kunti became relieved. Then she poured her heart out over the turmoil. She gave, because she was who she was. She was such a qualified devotee, and also of Kshatriyas, lineage. She understood very, very well what the intrigue was. She described the recent event that had taken place when Drona asked for the dakshin that he wanted. That was that his students, the Kauravas and the Pandavas, usurp the kingdom of Drupad, punish him, capture him, defeat him in battle. When the Kauravas were defeated, but then single-handedly the whole army of the Kauravas was defeated by Drupad. But just the five brothers defeated Drupad. Meaning the Kauravas were humiliated. This served to increase the tension between the two. Envy, as we were hearing from Maharaj yesterday. This was a very strong prompt. So Yudhisthira understood, Kunti understood, the other Pandavas also understood, and the intrigue was intense. Akura stayed for some time, getting a very clear, detailed picture of the whole situation. And then it was time, after 3 months' stay in Hastinapur, to return. Just before returning, he arranged for a private discussion with Dhritarashtra. And it's very similar to a Bhagavad Gita discussion, Krishna counseling Arjuna. What Akura said was very, very similar. He said that you're thinking in terms of this body. You're thinking that you know very well, everyone knows very well, the Pandavas by Vedic law, they're the rightful heirs to the throne. You've received the throne only because of the untimely death of Pandu. But the sons of Pandu, being the firstborn, are the lawful heirs to the throne. Don't discriminate my sons and Pandu's sons. Please understand, those who are your sons today, previously they were not your sons, in the future they'll not be your sons. You should make your decisions as the in charge of the kingdom person on the platform of understanding the soul and acting on that platform of understanding of the soul. If you act on the platform of this body, then you're covered by ignorance. And what is the consequence of activities that are based upon ignorance? The consequence is suffering. My dear King Dhritarashtra, don't act in ignorance. Act in virtue. The right thing is, the throne should be given to Yudhisthira. So there was two messages. Don't act on the platform of the body, and act on the platform of what is right according to Vedic instruction. Then you will have a very wonderful outcome, and if you don't do that, you'll have a disastrous outcome. So, in this morning's class, I want to emphasize two main points. This is one of them. And that is, the Mahabharata is teaching us that when there's a situation like Dhritarashtra's, or our own, or any situation, where we fail to understand and apply the principle of the soul, however high intentioned one may be, it's flawed from the outset, and the outcome of acting on that platform will be bad, if not disastrous. That's, you know, ABC understanding for devotees who study Bhagavad Gita. Studying Bhagavad Gita and applying it properly are two different things. Dhritarashtra's reply was, Uncle Vidura, your words are like nectar. They're ambrosia. Everything that you have said is absolutely true. But it doesn't stay in my heart. What can I do? I'm attached to my sons. It must be fate. It is providential that I have this attachment, I cannot act accordingly. Whatever the outcome may be, is a providential fruit. What can I do? I'm helpless. Vyas, in his explanation of Dhritarashtra's reply, is that Dhritarashtra refused to accept responsibility for his own actions. This is just my nature, what can I do? Like sometimes devotees will say, you know, I'm the kind of person who fill in the line. Somebody does like this, and I'm the kind of person who does like that. Just, you know, what can I do? That's just my nature. Same principle, not taking responsibility for one's actions. Not, we know that we're spirit, soul, not this body. We know that intellectually. But the message of Bhagavad Gita, or the message delivered by Akrura, we heard it yesterday repeatedly, the message delivered by Vidura, the message of the soul is something that we should take shelter of and guide our life by. Dhritarashtra just threw up his hands and said, I take no responsibility for my actions. Whatever the outcome is, it's the destiny of providence. Akrura could understand, because he was a very wise person, what Dhritarashtra would do, what the consequence of Dhritarashtra's doing what he would do, and the disaster that would follow. And he went back and he left Hastinapur and reported that to Krishna. So Krishna had a clear picture of what the intrigue was that was going on. I'm going to come back to this point, if time permits, and make a contrast of how good advice can make a difference if it's properly received. Maybe I'll do it now. The good advice, we'll come back. The good advice that Dhruva received from Narada, similar. The dynamic is somewhat different, but similar. Dhritarashtra wanted a kingdom. He was being restrained from that kingdom. He wanted something in this world. He was restrained from that something because of a disqualification, his blindness. But he was so attached that he couldn't receive good advice. Dhruva wanted a kingdom. Not just a kingdom equal to his father's, better than his father's, and better than his father's father's father. Better than Lord Brahma, he wanted a kingdom. And his mentality was, I want to get back at Suruchi. Get back mentality on the bodily platform. Narada gave multiple points of advice to Dhruva. Dhruva said something very similar to what Dhritarashtra said. Dhruva said, after hearing from Narada, he said, Narada, what you said is all true. Unfortunately, I have a Kshatriya spirit. I want a kingdom. I want a kingdom. And you're a great saint. Surely there's something that you can instruct me in so that I can get the kingdom. My mother said, by the grace of Lord Vishnu, one can achieve anything. Can you help me achieve Lord Vishnu? How can I attain Lord Vishnu? I want a kingdom. Notice the difference? Dhritarashtra, this is specifically in yesterday's verse. In yesterday's verse, Vidura said, because you are maintaining a non-devotee of Krishna, you are devoid of all auspicious qualities. Dhritarashtra, maintaining Duryodhana, who was opposed to Krishna, had no capacity to take shelter of Krishna. Dhruva had the capacity to take shelter of Krishna, even though he had material attachment. So this is the second line. One line is, we're all in this material world influenced by the modes of nature. Mahabharata's teaching, take the high road. Act according to the principles of virtue. And the principles of virtue are in the codes of the Vedas. Follow the codes of the Vedas and you'll get released from the influence of the lower modes of nature. And by virtue, you will ascend to a higher position. Virtue leads to ascending. And the opposite, neglecting, leads to destruction. Hellish circumstance on earth and a lower destination afterwards. The message of the Bhagavatam, embedded in this section that we're reading, is attachment to Krishna, or its opposite, offending Krishna, envious of Krishna, leads to total destruction. But even if one has attachment on the bodily platform, on the material platform like Dhruva, if there's somehow genuine shelter with Vishnu, the lotus feet of Vishnu or Krishna, all of that can be dismissed. So Dhruva had that aspiration to take shelter of Vishnu. I want a kingdom. So Narada gave him specific instructions how to achieve Vishnu. So there's a sequence. His mother pointed the direction, Vishnu. Narada gave him the detail after examining Dhruva and seeing the strength and intensity of his aspiration to achieve the Supreme Lord. He gave him the instructions how to achieve Vishnu. Then a next step, very, very important. Dhruva's heart started to change because he felt very, very indebted to Narada. He felt deep gratitude that Narada had given his blessings how to achieve Lord Vishnu. He then circumambulated Narada three times, and just as he instructed, he went to Kamyava and underwent austerities in the process of worship of Lord Vishnu. And he achieved Lord Vishnu, and his attachment to the material modes of nature and anything of this world was gone. That's not what happened with Dhritarashtra. He held on to his attachment. Therefore, even good association, and that's what's in this verse, even when good association was given, It just made Duryodhan seething with anger. His body was swelling with anger. His lips were trembling with anger. So he had that, as we heard yesterday, that envious disposition. But that envious disposition was corrupted, was like brought into a magnified condition by that association. Shakuni, specifically, Prabhupada describes in the purport. Now back to Mahabharata. After Akura left, Dhritarashtra, refusing to take responsibility for his actions, he then began to reflect on Akura's words. He thought, Akura's right. The Pandavas are the rightful heirs to the throne. And he also considered, throughout the kingdom, the citizens are saying they want Yudhisthira to become the king. Yudhisthira had the affection and adoration and love of the citizens. They wanted Yudhisthira to become king. And he knew it. He was getting reports even from Duryodhan. They're speaking like this. This is terrible. But his other advisors were letting him know. So he then, being Dhritarashtra, who would never make independent decisions, he consulted with Bhishma. He consulted with Vidura. He consulted with his other ministers. And they all affirmed, yes, you should give the kingdom to the Pandavas. They're the rightful heirs. It's the right thing to do. Take the high road. Do the right thing. And so he arranged for a ceremony for Yudhisthira to be anointed the prince regent, or the heir apparent, translated in different ways, the incumbent king. Now, just as in the verse for this morning, Karna, Shakuni, and Duryodhan held a little conference, a little subcommittee. And Shakuni, described in the Mahabharata with his fingers pressed against one another and his lips drawn, was considering, his eyes pinched, was considering what to do. And his consideration was, the strength of the Pandavas has already been shown to be superior to ours. The citizens already show their support of the Pandavas. There's only one thing to do. We have to get rid of them by unfair means. Karna, who is in this list in today's verse, he didn't like the idea at all. He said, let's fight them. We're Kshatriyas. We shouldn't do this other business. Stand on the battlefield with them and fight. And Shakuni said, you're very chivalrous, but very foolish. It's already been demonstrated what their strength is, superior to our strength. Karna was seething, saying, that's only because we didn't have an idea of how powerful Drupad was. They had the advantage. They came to find out how powerful Drupad was, and therefore they were prepared. Let us fight. Shakuni rejected the idea. So did Duryodhan rejected the idea. Karna left the assembly, their little subcommittee. I'm leaving. You can do what you want. I'm not going to be part of some corrupt action like this. But Shakuni fed, he supplied the whole plan, as the purport is saying, through the bad association of Shakuni. Prabhupada teaches, in relation to the Ajamila story, he specifically says, wherever you find bad behavior, you can trace it in the, go backwards in time and you'll find there's some bad association that precedes that bad behavior. So devotees in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching are warned that we give up asatsanga tyag e vaishnav achar. We should give up unwholesome association. But when you have unwholesome association, as Duryodhan, who was already envious of the strength of Bhima and the prowess of Arjuna, and the fact that he would not be the king because Yudhisthira is already placed in the incumbent prince, incumbent king position. Just the spark on gasoline, explosion, shakuni, bad association. He fed Duryodhan the whole plot of how they would remove the Pandavas from Hastinapur and then destroy them. First remove them for some time, then destroy them. And he said, you can do this because your father, Dhritarashtra, is very attached to you. He won't deny anything that you wish. Meanwhile, Dhritarashtra was understanding, my 100 sons, headed by Duryodhana, they're already having tension with the Pandavas. Now that I've put Yudhisthira as the incumbent king, they're going to be very disturbed. What should I do? So he asked Shakuni, what do you think I should do? You ask advice from a fool, that's what you get, very foolish advice. Shakuni brought his Brahmin friend, Kanika. He'll give you advice. Kanika's advice was, eliminate the Pandavas. Kill them. And Dhritarashtra was, after hearing this advice, he dismissed the Brahmana, and he's sitting in his room alone, thinking, how can I do this? This is terrible. Terrible. The advice of a Brahmana. And where there's no attachment to Krishna, then the intelligence becomes corrupt. So then Duryodhan came with Dhritarashtra in this condition, huffing and seething and noticeably disturbed. Although Dhritarashtra was blind, he could understand by the sounds of the pacing of Duryodhan and the seething of his breath, he was very, very angry. Duryodhan presented the detailed plan, removing the Pandavas and killing them. Dhritarashtra's response, this is on association, Dhritarashtra's response, his character was, I can't do this. I can't do this. When we were growing up, I was the elder brother, and Pandu, my younger brother, took care of me through everything. How could I even consider, in his absence, destroying his sons? No. It wasn't like, I can't do it. It was no. Duryodhan knew the weak spot of his father, and he pressed it. And I'll give up my life. Because I can't stand Bhishma throwing us around. The power of Bhishma, the might of Arjuna. And then he said, do you think that they're very diplomatic like we are? They're going to know if we're still around after they become king, after Yudhisthira becomes king. What are they going to do with you? And what are they going to do with your 100 sons? What's going to become of us? Do it. Give your permission. When Dhritarashtra became silent instead of saying no, Duryodhan knew he had him. He kept pressing. So the sequence, Shakuni corrupting the diabolical capacity of Duryodhan. Duryodhan pressing on Dhritarashtra. And then the way of intelligence that's not mature, that's not spiritually guided, becomes all this calculation of friends and enemies. Like Prahlad said to Hiranyakashipu, I heard about this friends and enemies, but now I'm seeing it. What is this idea? The enemy is Lord Vishnu. And you're on the side of Lord Vishnu, so you're an enemy. What is that? So Shakuni and Duryodhan got together. So Dhritarashtra, by his silence, has given his consent for the Pandavas to leave Hastinapur. Bhishma will remain silent. He'll remain neutral, because he always remains neutral. Drona, he'll say nothing, because Ashwatthama, his son, is my dear companion and supporter. So Duryodhan won't go against his son. It's all in the body. And because Drona's wife is the sister of Kripa, Kripa also won't object. There's only one. Vidura. Vidura is an enemy. We must watch Vidura. Just friends, enemies on the bodily platform. And just as the demoniac kings do, they bring themselves together and make alliances and so forth. Not on the platform of the soul and what is right and achieving the personality of Godhead. It's a whole other program. So when one departs from this association of saintly persons, just as this verse is describing, while speaking thus, Vidura, whose personal character was esteemed by respectable persons, was insulted by Duryodhan, who was swollen with anger and whose lips were trembling. The value, Prabhupada teaches over and over and over, the importance of protecting Brahminical culture. Dhritarashtra was known for not making independent decisions. But if one takes advice, one must be very selective in where one takes advice from, is in the matter of kings. Those who are attached to Krishna and those who are detached from the platform of the body, identification, and making actions on that platform. Decisions and alliances and all of that business. So this is within the pages of the Bhagavatam. It's certainly following parallel with the line of the message of Mahabharata. But for us, the Bhagavatam's message is attachment to Krishna. Vidura had that. He was attached to Krishna. Yudhisthira and the Pandavas, Kunti, they were attached to Krishna. So they were protected. They were protected. And those that leave that protection, they're corrupted by unwholesome association. Whatever weaknesses one may have, when the wrong association, they'll become inflamed. So Bhagavatams, the whole of Bhagavat Dharma, is to bring us more and more to the shelter of Krishna. And that's a way of devotional life. And the Bhagavatam is helping us to move to that position, taking full shelter of the way of devotional service, carefully guarding against unwholesome association, carefully applying from the root, the attachment to Krishna, acceptance of the reality of the eternality of the soul, and not forgetting that, acting on the platform of the body and the desires the attractions and repulsions and desires and hates, friends and enemies, and all of the terrible, terrible ways of material life, we have a genuine shelter. This we were discussing in one of our GBC discussions. The internal cultivation of Krishna consciousness is something that it's a responsibility for each and every one of us. The opportunity is there. The association opportunity is there. The process is there. That deepening of our internal cultivation of Krishna consciousness will give us the right protection and keep us on the track. Going back home, back to God. So, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada. Time is we have to make the record. Yes.